So this morning we are indeed carrying on with our series entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And our focus today, as Phil's just read those few verses for us, are on the quiet conversion of Lydia. You know, history is full of remarkable women. Women who've changed the world. Let me share you some examples. Dr. Elizabeth Blackwell became the first female British physician. She faced rejection from the public hospitals, so she opened up her own dispensary. And from there, she offered free medical care to those who couldn't afford it. And later on, she opened a medical college for women to train as doctors. Then there was a lady called Sally Ride. She broke barriers as the first woman in space. She joined the Challenger shuttle mission in June 1983. And after the shuttle crashed in 86, she helped with the investigation. And she later shaped scientific education as the director of the Space Institute. Eleanor Roosevelt, she reshaped the role of the first lady. In her late teens, she served the vulnerable and she taught in schools. She worked in the Navy hospitals during World War I and also served in the Red Cross. She even held the first press conference exclusively for female reporters. And then there is Marie Curie, who was the first woman scientist to gain worldwide recognition. Following her studies in Paris, she picked up a license for maths and physics. She was a professor of general physics and the director of the Curie Laboratory. Throughout the world, she was known as the mother of physics. One more, Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher, the first female prime minister in Europe. She was regarded as the Iron Lady. She led with conviction. And she was the first woman to lead the opposition in the House of Commons. So these women, they remind us that God often uses women in remarkable ways. Women who've shaped history, they've broken down barriers, and maybe suggesting that they've shaped the future too. But long before any of these names were known, before medicine, before space shuttles, before presidents, before medical colleges, there was this another extraordinary woman whose story changed everything. Folks, her name was Lydia. She was the first, or became the first, recorded convert in Europe. Her story reveals how God prepares people and how the gospel meets them. Her story reveals how true conversion overflows into partnership for the gospel. So in the time that we've got remaining this morning, let's look at her story together. Let's consider the setting, the woman, that's Lydia, and also her response. So turn with me back to our passage. Have it open so you can reference and refer to it. And our first point this morning is the setting. Look there at verses 11 through to 13. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samaras and the following day to Neapolis and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we were supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. Well, as Phil shared very briefly, Acts 16, those first 10 verses begins not with Lydia, but with Paul's kind of frustration, I guess. Churches are being strengthened. Numbers are increasing every single day. In verse 3, Timothy, he joins the mission. Everything appears to be going well. But suddenly, it's like almost momentum is lost because the Holy Spirit kind of blocks them. For some reason, the Holy Spirit blocks the mission, not once, but twice. They try to preach in Asia. The Spirit says no. They try to teach in Bithynia. The Spirit says no. Imagine the frustration here. The greatest missionary team in the world stuck. Not through opposition or through a lack of opportunities, but because God redirects them. Because in Troas, a man appears to Paul in a vision. In that vision, he urges him to come to Macedonia. And this Macedonian man pleads with Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. And with that, the pieces fall into place. It suddenly started to make sense. You know, folks, let's make no mistake. God wasn't stopping them. He was steering them. He was driving them directly to a place they never planned to go, to a people they never expected to meet, for a work they never imagined. This is the moment the gospel crosses into Europe for the very first time. And in verse 11, where we pick up the passage, we read that they set sail from Troas, heading all the way to Philippi. Notice verse 11, we suddenly get a we. Well, actually, we get a we in verse 10. Paul, Silas, and the recently joined Timothy are now also joined with Luke. Luke is there as they head for Philippi. Before, we were reading about Paul and Silas and then Timothy, but now the scripture says we went to Macedonia. Folks, Luke is now accompanying them on this journey. He's with them. So having arrived in Philippi, well, what do they do? Well, in verse 13, we're told on the Sabbath day, they venture out of the gate. They find themselves on the riverside, at a place where people have come to pray. Instead of a synagogue, they find a riverside prayer gathering. No crowd, no platform, no prestige, just a handful of women seeking God. Folks, there was not a synagogue in Philippi, as there was so few Jews there. So the place to pray was down by the riverside, which is where Paul meets Lydia. You know, God often begins his greatest works in the smallest and quietest places. The gospel enters Europe not with a trumpet fanfare, but with just a conversation by the river. Never underestimate the spiritual potential of small gatherings. Your home group, a coffee conversation, a pastoral visit. You know, the Lord loves to plant big seeds in small soil. And that's what he's doing here. And as Paul begins to preach, one of the women present there has their heart opened. So let's meet the woman as we move on to our second point this morning. Look there at verse 14. Just take a sip of water. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. So there in verse 14, one of the women who heard the gospel was named Lydia. And Luke goes on to describe Lydia with, I guess, unusual detail. Look what he tells us. Lydia was clearly a businesswoman. She sold purple goods. And anyone who was a seller of purple dealt in valued, luxurious products. The dye used for making this purple goods was expensive and highly regarded. This probably meant that Lydia must have been successful, respected, perhaps even influential. Secondly, we're told that Lydia was someone who worshipped God. Although she wasn't yet converted, she was spiritually seeking God. She clearly knew that God had something to offer, probably way beyond her wealth. Thirdly, Lydia was perhaps a woman of initiative. Why? Well, because she gathered with others to pray. I guess she might be the kind of person that you might be assume, well, that they don't need the gospel. She's meeting for prayer. She's worshiping God. But notice what Paul tells us at the end there of verse 14. It's hugely significant. He doesn't say that Paul persuaded her, Lydia figured it out, or that others convinced her. He says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to pay attention to what Paul taught. It was an important way to see what was happening through the gospel. The teaching of God's word is the way God opens hearts. Folks, Lydia is listening. Her heart is opened. And she receives what Paul says. Lydia's story reveals God's providential preparation. This was not an accident. She was not just a random convert. She was someone God had been preparing, perhaps through her business, her worship, and her openness to the community. This is the miracle of every conversion. God doesn't force the heart, he frees it. He doesn't crush the will, he awakens it. He doesn't coerce faith, he creates it. Some of the people most ready for Christ are those already asking questions, those already seeking, already drawn to spiritual things. So don't overlook them. God prepares people in ways we might not expect. So we must stay attentive and alert. Folks, this truth should give us confidence in our evangelism. God is at work. When we speak faithfully, God works powerfully. When we sow the seed, God opens the heart. You know, whilst we have a role in sharing the gospel, the ultimate work is, of course, done by God alone. We must pray and rely on the Spirit's power rather than persuasion or pressure. So if you know people who are spiritually curious, then invite them gently. Pray for them patiently and trust God to open their hearts in His timing. You know, when you share your faith, do so with confidence, but also with patience. Trust God to open hearts in His timing. Don't panic if the results don't come immediately. Just keep sowing seeds faithfully, knowing God is at work. You know, Lydia's story invites us to see how God opens hearts in His perfect timing. Our role is to be faithful witnesses and generous hosts who welcome others. And that's exactly what Lydia did, as we see her response in verse 15. Verse 15 reads, "And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon this." You know, verse 15, the response from Lydia is immediate, it's visible, and it's practical. There is nothing vague or half-hearted about her conversion. Folks, when the Lord opens Lydia's heart, her life opens with it. Notice that she's baptized first. This is her public identification with Christ. There's no hesitation. There's no delay. There's no, well, let me just think about it for a little while first. Maybe a cup of tea. The grace that touched her heart is now proclaimed through the waters of baptism. She simply steps forward and says to the world, I belong to Jesus. And now we see that her household follow. This is how the gospel often moves. It moves through relationships, through influence, and the natural systems kind of daily life. Folks, when God opens one heart, he often opens several others. The faith that began in Lydia begins a ripple effect, touching others. But then comes the moment that shows the depth of her transformation. Lydia turns to Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and says to them, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. It's not a polite offer. Well, it is, but it's not a polite offer. It's not just a show of niceness. She's insistent. Luke tells us she prevailed upon them. She insisted they come and stay. Folks, her home becomes the first church in Philippi. Her dining table becomes a base for their ministry. A little bit of conjecture. This is the fruit of genuine grace. Grace received becomes grace shared. An open heart becomes an opened home. Hospitality becomes ministry. Notice something else. Lydia doesn't preach a sermon. She doesn't plant a church by a strategy. She doesn't start up a program. She simply just opens up what she already has. Her home, her table, her life. And what does God do? Uses it. It's one of the takeaways, I think, for this morning. When God opens your heart, he opens your hands. When God changes your life, he changes your lifestyle. When God gives you grace, he invites you to give grace away. And Lydia shows us that hospitality is not kind of a personality type. It's not just for the extroverts. It's not for just the people with big houses and big kitchens. Hospitality is a ministry of the kingdom. We're all capable of showing kindness. It's one of the simplest ways God uses ordinary believers to advance his mission. So folks, your home, whatever size, whatever shape, whatever state it's in, it can be a place where the gospel takes root in other people. Your table can become a place of welcome. Your living room, a place of prayer. You know, your spare seat can become a place when someone else hears the good news. You don't need a stage. You don't need a microphone. You don't need a title. Folks, all you need is an open heart and an open home. That's all. Because when God opens a heart, he often opens a city. And it all begins with one believer who says, Lord, what I have is yours. What I have is yours. So look, as we draw to a close this morning, what do we need to remember? Well, I've got three things I think we need to hold on to from this passage. Firstly, God opens hearts. This is where every story of salvation begins. It doesn't begin with human effort, but with divine initiative from God. Lydia listened to Paul, but Luke is careful to tell us why she responded. And why did she respond? Because the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. We depend on his power, not our eloquence. We speak faithfully, but God works powerfully. Folks, we might help to sow the seed, but it is God who gives the growth. Make no mistake of that. And this truth should perhaps do two things in us. Firstly, it removes pressure. You don't have to be clever, polished, or persuasive. God is the heart opener. Secondly, it fuels prayer. If God alone opens hearts, then prayer is not optional. Prayer is essential. Pray for hearts to be opened in your family. Pray for hearts to be opened in your church, our church, and in our community. Because when you pray for someone's salvation, you're asking God to do his work. You're asking God to do what only he can do. And he delights to answer. The second thing to hold on to is the gospel creates community. Evidence of it here this morning. The moment Lydia believes, she gets baptized, but not on her own. Her whole household joins her. The gospel instantly forms a new spiritual family. Now, I appreciate that faith is personal, but it's never to be private. God saves individuals, but he places them into communities. Lydia's home becomes the first spiritual family and church in Philippi. Her living room becomes a worship space. Her table becomes a place of fellowship. This is what the gospel does. It gathers people. It binds strangers together. It creates belonging. It forms a group where grace is lived, shared, and seen. You know, in a world marked by loneliness, isolation, and fractured relationships, the church becomes a countercultural community of welcome. Lydia's story reminds us that that Christianity is not a solo faith, it's a shared life. I think the final thing to hold on to this morning is that hospitality is mission. Lydia's first instinct after conversion is not to withdraw, but to open. After she's baptized, she opens her home, she opens her table, and she offers her life. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So this is not just kindness, it's ministry. Her home becomes the first church in Europe. You know, your table can be a place of transformation. Your home can be a beacon in your neighborhood. And your spare seat, maybe around your table or in your living room, can be where someone else encounters the Lord Jesus Christ. Hospitality, it's not about perfection. It's not about having the right decor, nor is it about the right food or the right space or the perfect environment. But folks, it is about just making room for people, for conversation, for grace. And hospitality is one of the most simplest, most powerful ways where ordinary Christians can participate in God's mission. It's where strangers can become friends and where faith can take root. A truly opened heart becomes an opened home. Grace received becomes grace shared. Hospitality becomes ministry. So look, as we finish, let me ask you a question. Has God opened your heart? Not, well, do you attend church? Not, are you spiritually interested? But has the Lord opened your heart to respond to his word? And if he has opened your heart, then will you open your home? Will you open up your hands? Will you Will your life be used for his purposes? Because the same God who opens Lydia's heart is still opening hearts today. The same Spirit who redirected Paul is still guiding his people. Folks, the same community that created a community, the same gospel that created a community in Philippi is forming communities of grace here and now. Just think of our friends a few miles down the road at Tupton. So look, as we close, may we be a church that prays for open hearts. May we be a community where faith is shared, not hidden. And may all our homes become beacons of light in our neighborhoods. And may God write new stories, just like Lydia's, through us. Amen.